Well, there's rarely an hour, let alone a day, that goes by when Brexit isn't dominating the news headlines. But much of the coverage is about will they or won't they leave the EU in a couple of weeks' time? And will Boris go for an extension or die in a ditch? But what about the more cultural or social aspects of what's going on in Britain at the moment? And how do some British people view Ireland? Is there still some sense of ownership? Well, author, playwright and journalist Bonnie Greer, who's lived in London for many years, has gone viral here for comments she made on Thursday night's edition of BBC Question Time. Have a listen to some of what she had to say on the panel debate.
Oftentimes I hear people talking about Ireland as if this country owns Ireland. Ireland owes this country nothing. Ireland owes this country no concessions. It owes it no quarter. It owes it nothing. The third thing that I would add too is that the Good Friday Agreement, in spite of its rather benign name, the Good Friday Agreement is a truce. And it's a truce because the United States of America and the EU sat down with this country to make it happen. We have to be much more serious about this.
And I'm delighted to say Bonnie Greer joins me now. Good morning, Bonnie, and you're welcome to the programme. One of the comments you made on Question Time was that America is Irish. Could you expand on that a little more, please?
Yes. The Irish, really, the place they came to... Australia, I think, was the second, but the place people migrated to after the Great Famine was America. And so, and Ireland became a very, very big part of what we understand and know about America. And it's so deep that most Americans aren't really conscious of how much Ireland and how much of Irishness permeates the warp and woof of the United States. And so, therefore, whenever Ireland seems to be in any sort of trouble, I mean, people actually respond. And, you know, okay, we may have a very, you know, corny, old-fashioned idea about Ireland. People are very sentimental about Ireland. They call it the old country. And a lot of people don't know a lot about how dynamic and so forth Ireland is. They love the idea of Ireland, but it's still deep in them. And they will not take kindly to seeing Ireland being pushed around, because I think what the British don't understand, and I'm going to sort of barrel down and mean the English, not so much the Scots and the Welsh, what the English don't get is that the United States is not overly fond of England. The United States finds England charming and the England that they understand, but the United States fought a revolution against England. So it's not a sort of love affair. And America, in spite of what Trump says, is a nation of immigrants. And much of the immigration and much of the dissent, even for people who support Trump, I'm sad to say, but it's true, are Irish. And they will not take kindly to Ireland being perceived to be hurt or disrespected.
I have to say, I was in Chicago this March for St. Patrick's Day and did the river.
So you saw the river, didn't you?
Yeah, which is done by the Plumbers Association, I understand, organised in Chicago. You're from Chicago, so you would get that sense from where you're from, the importance of the Irish.
Well, I'm also African-American, and my point of that is, on St. Patrick's Day, we were all owed something or other. We all wore green socks or little skirts or hats. Nobody sat around and said, ooh, you know, this is really bizarre. I'm actually not Irish. No, we were all Irish, and everybody was very delighted to be it. Like I said, you know, as an Irish person, you probably think, oh, my God, this is so corny. But that's what people felt, and people feel in Chicago very deeply about Ireland. In Boston, Massachusetts, New York City, you cannot be elected governor of New York if you are on the wrong side of Ireland. It is impossible. And all over the United States, particularly Trump country, and they will not take kindly to this.
It's interesting you mentioned President Trump. In the video, which has gone viral here, you talk about, as I say, America is Irish, and you talk about how difficult it would be for the UK to get a deal. Now, I shared that video and I got a huge reaction from people saying, well, little does Bonnie know, because President Trump is very good pals with Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Did you take that into consideration when you made those comments about the difficulty of negotiating a trade deal?
Well, little do people know about the U.S. Constitution. Article 1 gives the Congress of the United States the sole defining okay for a trade deal with a foreign country. It is the Congress, because it has to do with commerce. It is the Congress, not the president. The president can make a preliminary deal. He can sign it. Then he has to go back to the Congress of the United States within 60 days to lay down the conditions and to ask permission to make it final. The Ways and Means Committee, which is the committee in the House that would look at this bill, ain't going to let it get out of there, because they are a two-year, their term as Congress people is 2 years. They have to go back to their people. If they face their people with a bill that doesn't look good for Ireland, they will be in big trouble. Nancy Pelosi, who's Speaker of the House of Representatives and the leader of the caucus that is in the majority of the House of Representatives now, said that it will not happen if Ireland, if the GFA is disturbed. Mitch McConnell, and I'm underlying McConnell, even though he is a Trump stooge, will not want to face his constituents with a deal that hurts Ireland. It's not going to happen. So all those naysayers need to read the United States Constitution, Article 1, and they can understand what's happening.
You also said on Question Time, oftentimes I hear people talking about Ireland as if this country owns Ireland. Tell me a little bit more about your experience of that, that sense of ownership that we would like to think is gone, but you feel hasn't maybe dissipated.
You know, it's a feeling. There's an African American saying called bald-headed stepchild, and it's about somebody being pushed in a corner while the grown-ups are actually discussing you, and it feels like somehow Ireland is in some sort of corner where the United Kingdom in particular can have this kind of conversation or debate about it, and Ireland has nothing to say about it, and that's what it feels like to me. And I think for a lot of British people who responded, they said, you know, that they know nothing about Irish history. They know nothing about, very, very little, about the UK's relationship with Ireland. You know, they know something about a £2 billion bailout. And I said to them, you know, we're not talking about your mortgage. We're talking about a country. £2 billion, I'm sorry, sounds like a lot of money, but it's not. In relation to, if you look at what the United Kingdom owed the United States of America to help it get out of the end of World War II, and it took them 60 years to repay. So, you know, laying £2 billion on the table saying that Ireland, whatever, I mean, come on, that's chicken feed in relation to, you know, what money is in relation to nations. But the people of the United Kingdom don't seem to have a lot of understanding about Ireland. And as I said last night, Ireland is Europe and very, very much a part of Europe. And they are equal, if not higher, partners at this table than the United Kingdom is, because it has to do with their soil. And that the people in the United Kingdom don't get that and haven't been taught that, I just find it shocking, frankly. And I'm still shocked about it.
You mentioned the United Kingdom, the people of the United Kingdom. An awful lot of them don't understand Northern Ireland.
No, they don't. They don't understand anything about Northern Ireland. Somebody wrote to me, oh, you know, the United Kingdom voted to leave. I said, you need to read about devolution. It'll be a very interesting subject for you to explore. And this is a citizen of the United Kingdom. They don't understand any of that. And that partly is because the Conservative Party, which has a stake in keeping a relationship with the DUP because they're a coalition partner, doesn't choose to actually emphasize the fact that Northern Ireland is devolved. Northern Ireland voted Remain, and for a good reason, I'm sure. So none of this is on the table for the majority of the British people, who are very heavily dependent on their press. They're very big press-reading people.
Yeah.
And so they read the newspapers, and they believe what they read in them, and then they respond. And it's, frankly, I think it's tragic.
And if they've read the newspapers in recent days, there's a shift in how some quarters of the British media are portraying this, which is now that our Taoiseach, our Prime Minister, Leo Varadkar, is actively blocking a deal. From this point of view, from an Irish point of view, we don't see that. We see that we had a deal with Theresa May and that Ireland has been very clear in its view. But the British press, some quarters, have changed and they're making him the bogeyman.
Well, you see, partly the United Kingdom, and it's particularly England, is caught up in what I call our finest hour mentality. One of the nicest things about being away from England for a while is when I turn on documentaries, they're not about World War II. And that is what is fed in this country as nonfiction and as documentary. So a lot of English people are walking around with these tropes. They're actually stuck not in 2019, but in 1939. And they think somehow they're in some sort of leadership position, and Ireland is in kind of a rebellious position with them, as if they own Ireland. And that's where I go back to my first statement. So they have this kind of very strange, ancient, gnarled, kind of Victorian idea about Ireland, which is, of course, abetted by this pantomime, Victorian-esque, old Etonian buffoon that we have as a prime minister who 98% of the people of the United Kingdom had nothing to do with putting there. Mm. So we're stuck with this. We're stuck with this this mentality. I call it his finest hour mentality. And they go around looking at Ireland as if it's some kind of evil, sneaky, treacherous entity. Where Ireland is Europe, Ireland has enormous power. Ireland is a major trading power. I mean, how stupid can you be?
You talk about Boris Johnson and the lack of a mandate there. I could put it to you, though, that the people who voted to leave will say that you, as a sort of ardent Remainer, have a chip on your shoulder and you're not respecting the democratic vote of the British people.
A democracy allows dissent. If we can't dissent, we can't have dissent, we aren't a democracy. That's number one. Number two, the vote was a referendum, and you in Ireland know how to do referenda. The United Kingdom does not. The United Kingdom thinks that a referendum vote is something you bring down from the mountaintop like Moses. And they've been so squeezed by austerity for the last 10 years and so beaten up that they've used the Brexit vote as a proxy for all the things that they're really, really angry about. I mean, if you ask the average person in Britain, what is about the EU you don't like? I'll give money to your favorite charity if somebody gives me a succinct response. They can't. And the Conservative Party is playing on this. These people here have been twisted and squeezed to the max. And the referendum was the only way that they could push back, the only way that they could say no. And if we had a unifier, if we really had a unifier at the head of government in the United Kingdom, that person would turn around and say, look, let's try this again. We found out some horrible stuff. We don't like it. Let's put all that stuff on the table. Let's put another deal on the table. Let's have another go at this. Because referenda can be voted once or twice. But you can't in this country because it's couched in so much that is emotional, that is beaten down. And I have a lot of respect for people who voted leave. I have no problems with people who voted leave. But we need to get the agenda on the table about how people feel they've been shafted, and leave is the only way they can say no.
Can I ask you, a lot of people listening to this program, either they themselves or perhaps family members will have lived in London and lived in the UK years ago when they'll remember signs that said no blacks, no Irish, no dogs. And that's something that resonates with an awful lot of people. You said on BBC Question Time, it's bad being a foreigner in this country right now. Does any of that resonate with some of those previous experiences, either as an African-American or maybe for people who are Irish? I'm even thinking of Meghan Markle and the coverage she's getting.
Yes.
Do you get a sense in some way they're retreating on where progress had been made in those areas to do with race and racism?
Absolutely, because it is what Brexit has become, and it's a tragedy. Brexit has joined what I call the nativist camp, people like Steve Bannon and so forth, who use Brexit as a cloak for other issues, a cloak for who is British, what is British, even things as ridiculous as talking about Indigenous Brits. And there's no Briton alive who is not descended from an immigrant, no one. So, you know, Brexit is being used because it is not really about the EU. It's about a panoply of grievances. And so you pour all those grievances in the Brexit basket, and it leaves leave people, Brexiters, being able to put everything into that hole. I don't blame them. If I did a vote and then they didn't take my vote, and I'm already upset anyway about all the things that are going on that are not happening in my community, or I'm afraid, I'm going to be really angry. I'm going to be really, really angry, as I don't have a problem with the average Leave people. It's the people who head the government, led by the Conservatives, and I hate putting a party political thing up, I'm going to, led by them, who have misled and are leading everybody down a garden path. They have always had, since I've lived in the United Kingdom for the last 30 years, a big, big inner drama about Europe. They've got rid of two women leaders over Europe, and they're going to get rid of a third because they have a problem with the EU and they have a problem with Europe, and they spread it all over the country.
Bonnie Greer, thank you so much for joining me. That's the author, journalist, playwright. Thank you so much, Bonnie Greer. Great to talk to you this morning.